As we continue in our worship of God, I invite you to turn with me to God's holy word, to the prophecy of Zephaniah again. The prophecy of Zephaniah. And this time, we'll read from verse 14 of chapter 3 up to verse 20. Zephaniah, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, up to and including verse 20. Hear God's holy and inspired word. Sing, O daughter of Zion! Shout, O Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem! The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the Mighty One, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back, even at the time I gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. So far, the reading of God's holy word. The text for this hour is to be found here in Zephaniah chapter 3. These words, the Lord your God is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. So far then, the Word of God, and also the words of our text. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever heard God sing? Well, it is rather unusual to even ask that question, because I don't think any of us have really thought much about God Himself singing. Oh, we love to hear choirs sing, and perhaps we are part of a choir, and it's a joy of heart to sing praises to God with fellow brothers and sisters, and it's good to hear those choirs sing as well. And when we think of the Christmas time and the angels singing, wow, imagine what that must have been like. And then imagine later on, brothers and sisters, you have been at the table of the Lord, how we may one day sing praises to God in the eternal city. I'm told, I've read somewhere that when the believers will begin to sing, the angels will actually fall silent in awe for what they will hear the believers singing. But here, what about God? God will be singing. In fact, God is singing. What would that be like to hear God sing? I think myself, I think I would fall back and, wow, this is amazing. God singing? Well, we have it here in our text. And why is it that God is singing? Well, it is because He rejoices in His people. He rejoices in the fact that His people have come to the table of the Lord, have confessed their faith again and again and again, and have said, yes, we need Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do without Him. He is our good shepherd, and we are His sheep. And so, when God hears that, He rejoices with singing. Well, now, that is what I want to speak of, because we want to hear something of God, how He feels about what we have experienced this morning, and how God is pleased to respond. And we have these words in our text. First of all, then, we know that the Lord God is amongst us. He is amongst us with His Word and with His Holy Spirit. We also know from our text, from another portion of God's Word, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. And so, yes, there are more than two or three here. And so, yes, indeed, we may believe that God is amongst us. He is amongst us with His Word. He is amongst us with His Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can say, and that's our theme, the Lord God amongst us. Now, how is He and how may He be amongst us? First of all, saving in His might. Secondly, silent in His love. And then, yes, lastly, singing in His joy. So, the Lord God amongst us, saving in His might, silent in His love, and singing in His joy. Now, congregation, it is remarkable that it is especially here in this prophecy of Zephaniah, which is not a very familiar book to many of us, but that in this prophecy of Zephaniah, we hear those final notes of God singing in His joy and in His delight. Previous to that, there were some awesome words as well. Not very welcoming words. In fact, words of judgment. There was nothing encouraging. There was nothing joyful. Nothing to be excited about when you read the earlier parts. Because Israel has sinned against the Lord God. But at the same time, the Lord God said, no, but there is a remnant there. There is a small group of people in whom I still greatly rejoice. And so, this small group of people, this remnant of believers, it still existed in the land of Israel. And the Lord took great care that He, as the shepherd of people, He would then also take care of them and rejoice in them. Good God, rather, would have His people rejoice in Him, and He would rejoice in them. Therefore, this small group of people in the days of the prophet Zephaniah could sing. And yes, they could sing. They did sing. They sang as the daughters of Zion, for instance, even as the prophet directed them. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Verse 14. And so the people were then already encouraged to praise God, to sing to the praises of their God, their shepherd. Now, the church of God has received, therefore, a keynote to begin singing the praises of their good shepherd. And it is good also, and I've experienced that in the past as well, when I had the privilege of being a pastor of this congregation, that there was good singing. And it is still the same. And I praise God for it. And dear people, continue to sing to the praises of the Lord God. Let the Lord God hear how you feel about Him. Continue on with good singing. And so, why should we sing? Well, we have this here in our text because the Lord God is in your midst. And how is He in our midst? He is, we've heard it, He is as our shepherd, He is as our king, He is the mighty hero amongst us, He is saving with His might. That is already a wonderful thing, that God continues to save people. And He doesn't just come in a way, will you also come? No, He saves in His might. He overcomes the evil one. He overcomes the world in your heart. He overcomes your sinful flesh. He saves in His might, you see. And you have no other choice but to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes you willing in the day of His power. And so He saves in His might. Now, dear brothers and sisters, we've been at the table of the Lord today. We've been fed at this table. And if you remember, we were then given to lie down, as it were, like sheep in pastures alongside quiet waters. We could rest for a while. We could decline, or not decline, we could recline in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could lay our troubles aside for a little while. It was like an oasis, wasn't it? An oasis where we could rest for a little bit, refreshing, peaceful, and safe. The Great Shepherd was our host. Goodness and mercy have not only visited for a few moments, but goodness and mercy continue to follow us throughout the rest of our life as well. That is the promise that God gives, you see. And this is also true when we, you and I, step away from the table of the Lord and enter into life again, everyday life. You don't have to go back. You don't have to go back to the place where God has called you. No, but we may go on from here. And we may look for greater things which the Lord will do for us. And at the same time, as we go back into this everyday world, we know what this world is like, don't we? It's a dark place. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face trials. We're going to face temptations as well. Along with that, no doubt there will be times of sorrow, times of disappointment due to circumstances that we see all around us. And after all, living the godly life after the celebration of the Lord's Supper is not without its challenges. Why? Because the evil one will be after us to say, was it really right for you to come to the table of the Lord? The evil one will try to sow doubts and fears in your heart and in your mind. Are you sure that you did not go up there unworthily? Are you so certain of your faith? The evil one will try to take the joy from you. Perhaps he will dislodge you. Perhaps he will unsettle you so that the joy that you experienced at the Lord's table or shortly after the Lord's table will be quickly taken away again and you're back into a world of anguish. Darkness again. Oh, may the Lord spare you from that because he is mighty to save you also from such darkness. Well, it is for good reason, therefore, that we must read the text very carefully. Because you and I will find tremendous encouragement in these words. Also, because, again, as I said, because the Lord God is amongst us. And He continues to save us by His might. It's not only that He saved us once we were born again, but He continues to save us. Because He is our shepherd. Our text, you see, is surrounded with wonderful promises for you who trust in God. And those promises are given to us today as well, so that you may receive them how? Well, with joy and delight, but at the same time, with a meek and humble spirit. Those promises, they have been sealed by the body and by the blood of our dear Savior, whom we have celebrated again at the table, the tokens of bread and wine. Now, as I could present to you the bread and the wine of the sacrament from the table today, so I may now present to you the promises of the gospel from this very pulpit this hour. The promises of the gospel. And these promises speak of ongoing saving might of the Lord our God. Dear people, let me honor God and show you from our text passage what He actually promises. He begins already in verse 15, where it says that the Lord takes the divine judgment away from you. and that your enemies are cast out, and that the great evil others have experienced will not be seen by you. Your God is mighty to save, you see, and He saves even when you find yourself going through difficult ways. You do not need to fear divine judgment raining down upon you. You do not need to fear the enemies, even you do not need to fear Satan, you see, because the Lord will save with His might. You may call upon Him at any time for continued salvation. Yes? You heard it right. For continued salvation. Read what it says in verse 18. The Lord will gather you who are sorrowful. Your sorrowful was on account of, what it says, appointed assembly, so it says, which means on account of your church attendance. Perhaps you have experienced a time of weakness in the faith, weakness in not being faithful in attending church services. Perhaps your going to church has been rather difficult for you because of opposition or of negative responses from those in your family or friends or those whom you work with. You go to church? That sort of thing. You know, these are all enemies that the Lord can subdue. Perhaps your church going in the past has been attended with much pain for you because you've always had to go alone. Or it's because your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter just does not want to go with you. Well, the promise of the Lord is that the Lord will gather you. He will go up with you to the Lord's house. Read the promises given to us in verse 19. Look what the Lord does with you who are afflicted or persecuted in some way. Look what He does to those who feel like outcasts. The Lord promises to rescue you. You who are crippled. You who are lame. He will bear you up. He will support you. You might feel like an outcast at this very moment. He will not forget you. He will draw you, you see. He will gather you, and He will put a song of praise on your lips as well. He will yet save you in His might. Dear people, we have a God, we worship a God, so says our text, who is amongst us, who is mighty, and who will continue to save. This is His promise, and we may plead upon that promise. But now there's something else yet in terms of promise, and that is what we want to see in the second place. He is silent in His love. Now what does that mean? Our text says that the Lord our God will quiet you with His love. Now if you have a study Bible, you will notice in the margin that it is actually translated that He will be silent in His love, and I do agree with that. Let me just briefly explain the meaning of it. And catch this, because there's something very tender about this. There's something very moving for someone to be silent in his or her love. Maybe I can give you an example. The idea is as follows. Picture for a moment a husband, long separated from his unfaithful wife, who in the meantime has fallen on hard times. He finds her at last. He embraces her. He cherishes her in the silence of his love and in loving silence. He does not speak a word of rebuke to her, not a word of disappointment, not a word of anger towards her. He is silent in his love. Now, this is really the meaning of our text here. And it, dear people, it describes the Lord's relationship with us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is silent in His love towards us. He cherishes the fact that we have stopped going in other directions but want to be with Him again. He is silent in His love. Dear people, the love for us is at times so unfathomably deep. Too deep for words for a human being to express. But just think of what this means. The sins that you have committed in the past. The sins that you have confessed to Him. He will not mention them anymore at all. He is silent in His love. And of course, this silence is an answer to the prayer of the author of Psalm 25, verse 7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. And that is really the prayer that we may also ask. Lord God, don't remember them anymore. And He won't. Being silent in His love, dear people, means that He will speak no more to you about your past sins. They have been forgiven. They have been no longer remembered. They are no longer remembered. How can the Lord then be silent in His love towards me, even as I was once unfaithful to Him? Well, that of course has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all points out to what the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure. Because remember that the Lord Jesus Christ also was once silent in His love when He sacrificed Himself for the likes of you and me. He once stood as a common criminal in the judgment place. False witnesses maliciously libeled Him, defamed Him in various ways so that they would have enough reason to put Him to death. But Jesus remained silent because we read, but Jesus held His peace. He was silent in His love. Shortly after, He stood there before the judge of the nation, Pontius Pilate. And all sorts of accusations were hurled at Him at that moment. But while the chief priests and the elders were busy accusing Him, we read, He answered them nothing. And when the judge at that time expected a defense from Him, we read again, and He answered him never a word. At that time, it was not silent embracing. At that time, was this not silent embracing and cherishing His beloved? He was silent, you see. And He did that to save the likes of you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ, you see, He also was silent in His love. Isaiah, he prophesied that already. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before His shearers is silent. So He opened not His mouth. Have you ever thought about it? He was silent in His love. His silence led Him to be sacrificed for the sake of His beloved, those who confessed Him, so that now He can be silent in His love towards you and towards me. And this is how the Lord is, dear people, in respect to you and me. We have confessed faith in Him. Saving in His might. Silent in His love. Cherish that promise. And may it be for your encouragement. And as you come away from the table of the Lord, as we have done today, this, you will have heard it. this will make it less tempting to fall for every temptation that Satan will set before you. This will, as it were, strengthen you and encourage you against those temptations, knowing that the Lord continues to save you and that He is silent in His love in respect to all that has happened before. All you need to remember, therefore, when you are tempted to sin, that there is a strong, silent love for you deep in the heart of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it would grieve Him deeply. Just think of that. It would grieve Him deeply if you would fall for this or the other temptation that Satan sets before Him. You would hurt His love. Therefore, let such thoughts of the Lord's silent love guard you, surround you, and let His saving powers dwell in you richly. The Lord is among us, saving in His might, silent in His love. And now in the last place, yes, I do have to speak of that, and I look forward to it, singing in His joy. And isn't that what we read here in our text? The Lord your God in your midst will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you in singing. Now, congregation, if our text did not speak about that, I wouldn't dare to have spoken and mentioned it. But yes, we do read in the Bible about the angels singing. We do read about men and women, boys and girls singing. We even read in the Bible as well, from Matthew 21, verse 16, that out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, the Lord has perfected praise. But here in our text, the Lord Himself is singing. And why? Well, He sings in pure joy because His delight is to be amongst His people. Can you ever imagine that? That the Lord delights to be with His people. There is joy in heaven. Also because of what has occurred here this day. As the Lord Jesus Christ met with His people again. There is joy in heaven. There is joy amongst the angels of God and before the Lord God. When one sinner repents, why? Because such a repentant sinner will then be with the Lord, and the Lord will be with him or with her. But now I want to just make a few statements that can be construed as warnings. What about you who have made public confession of faith? But you did not come to the table. What about you? I don't know what has kept you back. I do not know that, of course. Perhaps you are timid. If so, I want to say, on the basis of what you have read in verse 13, don't be so afraid. Don't be so afraid. Perhaps you are still unsure of where you are spiritually in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I must ask you, when will you be sure? When you're 50? When you're 70? When you're 90 years old? When you're on your deathbed? Is that the time you will be sure? Would you have any reason to sing to the Lord for what He has done? Or would you give the Lord any reason to rejoice by staying away from the table of the Lord, though you have once made public confession of faith? Perhaps you could not come because, when you're honest, you do not yet have a saving relationship with the Lord God. In other words, you are not yet born again. And that's a very, very sad thing. Very sad thing. Because whatever you have heard so far has gone by you. You have no clue what it was all about. And so, what is necessary is that you be born again. But God is mighty in His salvation work. He can save you. He can cause you to be born again. And of course, yes, the reason why you stayed away from the table of the Lord, because, well, you don't know the Lord in a saving way yet. But again, that did not bring any joy to the Lord God, you see. He does not take any pleasure in a sinner who refuses to repent. He takes no pleasure in this. In fact, we know that it actually grieves Him. It grieves it to His heart. So we are told already in the early part of the Bible that sinners go around not repenting. Let me urge you, therefore, to hear the Word of God and that you repent of your sin and that you turn in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot say it in any simpler words. That is what the Lord Jesus Himself taught. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. How can I encourage you to such a thing, my friend? Well, I can encourage you in this way, that when you do this, you will never regret it. In fact, it will bring joy to your life. It will bring joy to your life. Dear people, your life might not be easy. And especially when we get older and we look back, it's not been an easy life. The journey to the promised land, it may be long and it may be wearisome at times. But remember, you are not traveling alone. And the Lord, being mindful of the needs of His people, He gives times of rest. He gives those oases, doesn't He? He gives times of refreshment so that we can stop and think for a while. This day, I believe, was one of those days, wasn't it? May you have had a sense today of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ as you heard how greatly He desired to have this meal with us. You'll get through this journey. You'll get through it. Because the Lord is with His people. He is saving in His might. He is silent in His love. But He's also singing in joy over you as well and about you. Yes, the Lord sings in joy because He knows that you'll be with Him someday and He'll be with you someday. Your communion with Him played a role in this joy, you see. Even as you sat at the table today. And it is hard for us to imagine. I've tried to explain our text as well as I could. But I know, even as I'm speaking right now, that I have not sufficiently covered the greatness of what the Lord God has done and how the Lord God feels. I have not sufficiently expressed what our text is trying to bring out, but meditate on it. Meditate on it. Even if you have to have a sleepless night, but go through this verse again and reflect upon it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And Lord, ask Him, give me some of that joy, O Lord. May I see some of it. May I experience some of it. You see, the Lord our God is so full of joy in the love for His people that He breaks the eternal silence that we have deserved. Presently, the joy can be heard in the heavens already. And it is not at all a surprise to the angels in heaven. Not at all. The Lord our God is singing in His joy. And dear people, therefore return to your homes this afternoon. Return to your station in life, whatever that station might be. Go on in your journey to the promised land, that is the heavenly Jerusalem. And may others who too have been addressed this hour, begin this journey along as well and travel with you. As the Israelites would travel to the temple on the Sabbath day or prior to it, do you know how they traveled? They traveled singing. They traveled singing so that others would go along with them. And singing, they would go down the hill and up Mount Zion. And they would enter singing into the temple. That is how the Lord God wants it, dear people. And so, let the celebration of the Lord's Supper today encourage you to go on. And when you are so inclined, and I hope you are, lift up your voice and enjoy, sing the praises of God, who is, after all, mighty to save, silent in love, and sings with rejoicing. Amen. Let us close in prayer. O Lord our God, help us to meditate on the words of our text. They are so precious. They are so deep. They are so high. O Lord, how can we attain to it unless your Holy Spirit would enlighten our eyes and our hearts towards it and our understanding so that we too may see something of the greatness of these words. O Lord our God, what promises you have given to us that you are mighty to save. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you are silent in your love. And Lord, we can't wait. We can't wait to actually hear you sing with joy. What a wonderful thing that will be. We look forward to that. We pray that you would bless us, each one of us. Remember us in mercy. Guide us by your word and Holy Spirit. Bless our children as they go to school, the teachers who teach them. Bless the fathers and mothers as they go about to do their daily task. May they do so with a measure of encouragement, of joy even. Bless the consistory, this church, this congregation, the brothers, elders, and deacons. Give them much wisdom, particularly in the weeks ahead. And no doubt they will consult with Brother Hutton. Lord God, make all things well. And may there be great rejoicing here one day, when the congregation may hear that another pastor is being given to this congregation. Be with us now as we go our homeward way. And we ask all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Return now to your homes and receive the blessings of the Lord our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.